Grace, mercy, and peace be unto each of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is the gospel reading for this day from John chapter 8, where we hear Jesus say to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So far, the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. The celebration of Reformation Day tempts us to indulge in a theology of glory and hero worship. That is, there's a temptation to celebrate today as kind of an Independence Day, with Martin Luther being the great hero. That's because it's often thought that when Martin Luther posted the 95 Theses on the church door in Wittenberg on All Hallows Eve in 1517, that he was starting a rebellion against the Roman Church and the Pope and declaring his independence. But such was not the case at all. After all, Luther was a loyal son of the church, and his desire was to reform the church by ridding it of the false teaching and practices which had infiltrated the church over a long period of time. Furthermore, his activities were not driven by a desire for fame and fortune, but by a God-given desire to abide in Christ and His Word. For the gospel of Christ and His salvation had had its way with Luther, and he was set free from tyranny to sin, and set free to live in the freedom of the full forgiveness of sins for Christ's sake. Now, sin and the devil enslave us so that we don't even realize the reality and extent of our slavery. In fact, we are easily deceived into thinking that we aren't in slavery at all. Such was certainly the case with the Jews who had believed in him. When Jesus talked about the setting them free, they insist, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone." They seem to have forgotten their own history, their ancestors' bondage in Egypt, and God's deliverance. They seem to have forgotten captivity by the Assyrians and the Babylonians. And if they didn't think that ancient history to be important, how could they not have seen the Roman cohorts marching up and down the streets of Jerusalem with images of Tiberius Caesar adorning their standards? And still, their blindness to their current situation was not the worst of it. They were also blind to their slavery to sin. That's why they clung so tenaciously to their being descendants of Abraham. They thought that that alone was enough to be in God's good graces. What they didn't realize was that they were so enslaved to sin that the only way out was to believe in, trust in, not themselves or their own works, but only in Jesus, the one who had come to set them free from their sin. Thus, when Jesus says, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free," he follows it up with, "Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." And thus we see how he addresses us as well. After all, You sin. I sin. We are all, as Jesus puts it, doers of sin. And when we hear our Lord's crushing words, we can't shrug off the law of this passage and think that it doesn't apply to us. Yet, we are most certainly slaves. We were born slaves. Our very flesh came into this world in bondage to sin, death, and decay. We languished in our very own Egypt, suffered under the severe blows of our taskmaster, the holy law of God. And just as Israel longed for the whips of their taskmasters after they'd been taken into the desert, so do our bodies long for the sin which clings to our very inward parts. After all, sin is what our bodies know, want, and desire. Even our most pious and holy desires are tainted with the lust that endures in our members. We fight moment by moment against the sin that dwells in us, but we fail. We fall again and again into the bondage of decay. But we like it there. It's what we know. It's what we're used to. No matter what happens, no matter how bad it gets, we're used to it. We know how to cope. To see the severity of our condition, consider that years ago, researchers shocked a rat in a cage, and when they opened the door, the rat stayed inside. Though the cage was a place of pain and misery, it was pain and misery the rat knew. The law says to us, your lot is pain. Your lot is agony. You will live a life of suffering and then you will die. There's no escape. There's nothing you can do to change it. And so we are always in danger of becoming like the rat. We are always in danger of going from you can't save yourself to you can't be saved. The freedom of the gospel is an unknown, strange freedom. We can't imagine what it's like, so we stay in the cage, the door swinging on its hinges. The only way to change our situation is for the cage to be broken and destroyed. Somebody else has to come into the cage and take all the electric shocks into his body and hand over joy, peace, and the forgiveness of sins to the rats he finds there. And that somebody else is Jesus. He's the Son, and if he sets you free, you will be free indeed. This life of pain and misery will still have some pain and misery, but you'll be out of the cage. You'll see that out in the world, the one Jesus created and bound himself to in the womb of his mother, in that world, Jesus has got lots of gifts to be giving you. There's your family, your work, your house and home, all that you have. There's your church. There's the gospel. There's Jesus hanging dead on a cross, having been punished for all your sin, of all of that ugliness that keeps you in the cage. It's gone. It's paid for. You're free from it. The shocks can come, but they can't hurt you. The Son abides in his Father's house forever, and he's prepared a place there for you. Now, freedom can be scary when all we know is slavery. But there's nothing at all in the gospel to be afraid of. For when Jesus says that you will know the truth, he means you'll know him. When he says the truth will set you free, he means he will set you free. And he's done it. He's entered the rat cage. He's waded through all the filth, all the muck, all the mess that we filled it with. He's covered himself in the disgusting, the evil, the smelly things of the world. He's robbed them of their power to oppress you. There's nothing the world can throw at you that it's not already thrown at Jesus. He bears their marks on his holy brow, hands, feet, and side. When he marched up the mountain to Golgotha, Jesus, the sinless one, took on the sins of everybody else, of all who've been born and died, of Pilate, of the centurion nailing him to the cross, and of billions that would be born later. He took them all and made them all his own. And he died for them, suffering the fullness of God's wrath, even eternal hell for them. You've done the crime. He's done the time. You're free. You get off like Barabbas because Jesus takes your place and suffers your punishment. And if that weren't enough, by his Holy Spirit, he's created faith in your heart so that you believe in him. Yes, even abide in him. He feeds you with the preaching of his word. He places his very body and blood into your mouth. That's freedom. That's true freedom. That's Jesus for you. That's the Son making you free. And that's abiding in the house forever. You've heard his word and abide in it. You abide in him, the word incarnate. You know the truth. And he has set you free. Thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves of sin, you have been set free of sin to live with him now and forever. To him alone be the glory. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.